This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When you think about the issues facing our country today, what comes first to mind? Well, there's a major land war in Europe and the possibility of direct conflict with Russia. Relations with China are getting steadily worse. And there's always the global climate emergency. Or look at things at home, radical disparities in income, economic turmoil, the frequency of gun violence. And yet for many politicians, particularly on the right, these issues are not as enticing as the culture wars, especially the subject of gender and trans identity. Whether it's Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis at home or Vladimir Putin in Russia, they're trumpeting trans people as a mortal threat to culture, to society, and to the minds of impressionable children. First, I want to talk with a politician who's in the midst of this fight, on its front lines, really.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the George W. Norris Legislative Chamber for the 39th day of the 108th Legislature First Session.
According to the ACLU, nearly 400 state-level bills are targeting gay and trans people. Lawmakers are introducing those bills from Maine to Oregon and almost everywhere in between. In the Nebraska State House, Republicans put forward what they called the Let Them Grow Act. And since their party holds about two-thirds of the seats, they expected that bill to pass quite easily. Until a state senator named Michaela Kavanaugh stepped into the breach.
If this legislature collectively decides that legislating hate against children is our priority, then I am going to make it painful, for everyone. Because if you want to inflict pain upon our children, I am going to inflict pain upon this body. And I have nothing but time. And I am going to use all of it.
Kavanaugh is filibustering to prevent this bill from ever coming to a vote. And she's also filibustering an anti-abortion bill. She comes from a political family. Her father was a U.S. congressman from Nebraska. And her brother John serves alongside her in the legislature. Michaela Kavanaugh is about 2 weeks into her filibuster, and I caught her during a break between speeches on the floor. So tell me, what is the Let Them Grow Act, and what's in this bill that makes you so concerned?
Oh, everything in this bill makes me concerned. The Let Them Grow Act is a bill that targets trans youth of gender-affirming care. So what it does is makes it illegal, bans from the state of Nebraska gender-affirming care, which includes therapy, hormone blockers, and surgery. So starting with therapy, I mean, that's the most basic thing that we all should be probably seeking, is having more therapy in our lives. But when we're talking about transgendered youth or youth that are questioning their gender identity, therapy is essential to their well-being, to their health care.
Tell me this. When did this enormous concern grow up in the politics of the state of Nebraska, and why?
I don't believe that it has. I think that this enormous concern has come from national political talking points. As we see, this bill is being introduced in states across the country. The language is, boilerplate language that's being introduced in every state.
So here's the bill's sponsor, State Senator Kathleen Kauth, speaking about the Let Them Grow Act.
We have laws that protect kids from abuse, exploitation, and from exposure to dangerous substances like alcohol and drugs. As adults, we understand that a child's brain is not fully formed and cannot comprehend the ramifications of making irreversible medical decisions.
When you see something that isn't original language, which is just copied off of other language that other states are introducing, that's when you know that this is not because of something that's happening here in our state.
You're saying it's a phony issue in a sense.
Oh, it's definitely a phony issue. It's a disingenuous conversation. What we're saying with this bill is that we don't trust parents to make healthcare decisions for their children. Children, trans children, are being used as a prop by an extreme agenda. I don't like to say that it's a conservative agenda or a Republican agenda, because I don't think that that's who the Republican Party at least used to be. I don't think that that's who a lot of Republicans in Nebraska are. I believe very firmly that my colleagues, for the most part, in the Nebraska legislature are fiscal conservatives who believe in liberties, parental rights, individual rights. This bill seeks to diminish all of that, and bills like this across the country seek to diminish that. It seems to be a loud minority is getting a lot of national attention for being hyperbolic.
Well, you're filibustering, though, which suggests that the Republican majority in your legislature would vote for the Let Them Grow Act, no?
Yes. The Republican majority in the legislature, a majority of the majority, will vote for that act. That, however, does not mean that that's what they want or who they are.
Well, I don't get that distinction.
Let me explain.
It's not that you know their head better than they do, or maybe you're suggesting that you do.
Well, I've had conversations with them about it, with a lot of my colleagues about it. And I would say that what has been expressed to me is a frustration over discussing policies like this instead of discussing policies that most of them ran to be here discussing.
This is what a culture war looks like, apparently. I am completely uninterested in litigating a culture war.
We are an agricultural state, and property tax is a huge issue in our state. We fund our public educations partially through property taxes, and almost every single person in here ran on some platform to do with taxes.
Then why don't the Republicans in your legislature rise up and say, this is of no concern of ours, and either vote against the bill or not bring it up in the first place?
Well, that's what I'm asking them to do. By filibustering, by putting a time crunch on things, what I'm asking of them is to rise up and say that. If this really isn't who they are, rise up and say that and stop having private conversations with me, telling me how much you don't like the bill, how much you don't want to be focusing on this issue, and rise up and say something about it.
So what are they
challenging them.
What is their fear? They're fearing the Republican National Committee. They're fearing Donald Trump, DeSantis. What is the motivation for a state senator, for a legislator in the state of Nebraska, to care about this and to put their political muscle into it?
We in Nebraska, a lot of it has to do with campaign finance, in that there's no limitations on money that can be poured into for or against a candidate. The last 8 years of the Pete Ricketts administration here in Nebraska, when former Governor Ricketts vetoed a couple of bills his first 2 years, and those vetoes were overridden by the legislature, he poured personal wealth into ousting Republicans that voted against him. And as a result, we've gone down this road of having people who are financially beholden to the Pete Ricketts of this world, the Charles Herbster. And Charles Herbster is a close friend of Donald Trump, that they are beholden to these individuals. And so they feel, and this is, of course, my assumption, that they feel that if they vote against the platform of these individuals, that money will be poured against them in their reelection.
What you're saying is that the Republicans just simply don't have the courage to stand up to their financial situation, and they fear losing the gig. Is it such a great gig that you would give up your conscience?
I will say it. I love this job. Mm-hmm. I do. It is.
But you're
it is
standing really, up for your conscience. I'm talking about your Republican colleagues.
It's never a good time to do the right thing, and it's never easy to do the right thing. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
Take your names off of that piece of poop. LB 574, talk to the speaker, demand good governance. Be better. Be who the children of Nebraska deserve.
Tell me about your conversations with voters who maybe don't see eye to eye with you, who are watching Fox News, who are reading about this on Twitter, and you're at the supermarket, you're in the hallway of the state capitol, you're at kids' schools, you're running into people who think, and I'm putting these words in their mouths, maybe children should stay in their assigned genders until they're older. How do you explain your position? Walk me through that.
Well, first I'll say that people are not coming up to me saying that.
There's no such conversation.
It hasn't happened, which is fascinating. I have people in my district and across the state reaching out to me, telling me that they appreciate me fighting for our trans youth and for parental rights. But if someone were to come up to me and say that, I would talk to them about the substance of the bill, that this is a parental rights issue, that we shouldn't be getting involved in decision, healthcare decisions in individual families and individual households. This isn't a pervasive issue. It's pervasive in the trans community, of course, but it's not pervasive in Nebraska. And we're going to legislate away parental rights for what? For why?
Now, we've seen that in the Congress, the U.S. Congress, shutting down the government is usually pretty unpopular politically. Republicans in Nebraska are one seat shy of a filibuster-proof supermajority. Will there be a political price to pay for you?
Oh, for me. Well, I'm term limited, and I was just reelected. So for me personally, no, there's not a political price to pay. For the Democrats in Nebraska, perhaps.
You getting any pressure from your fellow Democrats to knock it off?
No.
They're behind you.
Yes.
With the filibuster, Michaela Kavanaugh is fighting how the process has gone in the legislature, including how two bills sailed through committees with little consideration of opposition. Today's session triggered this exchange from two fellow senators.
To let one person and their personal vendetta against someone else or her wishes aren't met, so she's going to filibuster these bills. That's the way that bullies do things. And the only way that you can deal with a bully is to hit him head on.
She absolutely feels strong in her conviction, but that does not make her a bully. And I think it's unfortunate that that is now on the record.
Let's say you win this. Let's say they withdraw the Let Them Grow Act from a vote. What prevents a senator from reintroducing it later?
Nothing. But hopefully, we as a body have learned a lesson.
The way I understand it, as you portraying it here, is that the Republicans in the Nebraska legislature are really, if quietly, either uninterested in or even against the Let Them Grow Act, but they don't seem to have the inclination to overturn the directive from the National Party, and they're just going along with it. Am I getting that right?
I think that they have the potential to rise to the occasion. And I don't want to paint them into a corner and say that they can't do it. I think that they can.
How would that happen?
Well, one of the great things about Nebraska, one of the many, is that we are a unicameral. which means we're nonpartisan, and our legislature is not run by a political party. And that means that unless you have aspirations for federal office, which we only have 5 federal seats, so, you know, not too many people are going to be having their eye on that as a result. Unless you have aspirations for federal office, you have much more autonomy here than you do in other legislatures. And so it is easier on both sides, Democrat and Republican, to stand up against perhaps what the party is pushing you to do.
And when and how might that happen?
Well, when, to be determined. How would be my colleagues coming together, talking to the speaker about how much airtime this bill is going to get and what other things are we going to schedule? What is the purpose of this legislature? What do we want to accomplish?
Senator, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Democrat Michaela Kavanaugh was elected to the Nebraska State Legislature in 2018. She plans to keep up the filibuster for about 3 more months.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.